Skype of Cthulhu presents Ripples from Carcosa, Heir to Carcosa.
So, session 5 of Ripples of Carcosa, part 3, Heir to Carcosa. It is the year 2150 in deep space, sort of. So you are all on board the UCC Gladius. And the situation generally, for those of you who don't remember the year 2150, or many of the years leading up to that, perhaps, about 100 years ago, in 2045, 2050, something like this, the ancient city of Relay rose from the oceans, and just a few years later, in the year 2055, the entirety of the Earth was invaded, conquered by a number of great old ones who enslaved the entire population of the Earth. So everyone on Earth are slaves to the old ones, and they spend their days being whipped and tortured and worshiping the old ones. Fortunately for humanity, some years before that, a colony had been established on Mars. And it is a moderate colony. There are about 3,000 people living there. They mostly keep to themselves. The larger population of humanity that's off Earth, however, is a group of around a total of around 9,000 people who live in a number of space stations and bases that are scattered throughout the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. And this colony was initially established by a trio of Yithians who in the late 18th century had become, for various reasons, had become trapped in human bodies. But of course, having previously, you know, seen the future, knew what was coming, knew they couldn't prevent it, but wanted to try to save some vestige of humanity, and so worked to develop some gating technologies and build these bases over the years. And so by the time the great old ones invaded, these colonies, which together are called the United Colonial Coalition, UCC, were established. In the middle part of the 20th century, humanity made contact with an alien race, a group of whom had just come out of suspended animation in Antarctica, known as the Elder Things. And in the United Colonial Coalition, the three Yithians, a handful of Elder Things, and a few thousand humans, really have set up a fairly, you know, peaceful, stable society. They have long since cut off all contact with Earth. They don't want, you know, things like magic and occult studies and, you know, anything related to the great old ones is outlawed because they are desperately trying not to draw the attention of the great old ones, because of course they'll just come conquer the colonies as well, and nobody wants that. So the colonies really have three primary goals. The first one is to remain undetected. The Earth has long since been lost. And as I said, we don't want the great old ones coming and conquering the colonies too. Number two is to try to preserve as much humanity as possible. You know, these are other than the small colony on Mars, which is, you know, of questionable stability. You know, the UCC are really the last free humans known. And as you have just recently learned, kind of goal number three for the colonies is what's known as Project Origami. For about the past 50 or 60 years, scientists in the colony have been trying to develop a way to fold space, to be able to leave not just the area around Earth, but to leave the solar system and, in fact, to leave the galaxy completely, to get as far away from the corrupted Earth and the great old ones as possible.
Sounds like magic. That sounds like a bad deal. All right.
So, you, the five of you, the crew of the UCC Gladius, are on a mission for Project Origami. You are headed to one of the moons of Jupiter, Callisto, where there is a small space station called Traitor's Point. And you are carrying in your cargo 70 canisters of various special gas, and some instrumentation and some blueprints, which you are to trade to another non-human race, the Migo. The Migo are known. There's certainly contact with them. There's, you know, some amount of trade established with them, but the colonies generally try to keep the Migo at arm's length, because as you know, all the humans were taught by the Ithians of all the interference and meddling that the Migo had been doing through the years in Earth. So they're, you know, the relationship is certainly not friendly, but it's not hostile either. And as the Callisto,
I feel like there was a half a sentence there. We're supposed to trade those for.
Oh, I'm sorry. you are to so the Migo is in exchange for what you're carrying. The Migo are providing you some certain scientific data that is supposed to be able to jump the progress of Project Origami forward. Best estimates say 5 to 10 years. All right, so some pretty big scientific leaps, right? With the knowledge that the Migo can provide.
Gas, blueprints, and a third thing.
A device used in filtering and refining the gases.
Okay.
That's what you've been told.
Are there blueprints for that device or just something?
Are the blueprints for that device?
It doesn't matter if you don't
know. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. So basically an example of the device and blueprints so that they can go build their own easily. Gotcha. Okay. So with that, as the Gladius approaches Trading Point, why don't we go around and introduce yourselves? Randall, shall we start with you?
Why not? Let's see. So my name is Andrew Fisk. I am, I guess, kind of a diplomat and a chief negotiator. So I will be doing most of the talking with Amigo, I guess, or at least leading that conversation. And let's see what else. Pretty young, around 30. And yep, that's it. That's what I can share with you guys. All the secrets are for later.
Edwin?
Damian Gunn, soldier, has probably been spending a lot of the time doing various exercises around the ship, and has been assisting Martin Smith, who is in the sick bed, with some of the engineering to make sure that the ship is running smoothly.
And Rachel?
I am Lola Voigt. I am the pilot. I am...
Moving up in the world.
What?
Moving up in the world.
Moving up in the world. Not a slave. Not a beggar. I connect with the ship via dreaming. I'm very small because of the drugs you take in order to do this. I am also addicted to these drugs. So, yeah, I got to keep that in mind.
And Steve.
So I'll be playing Vincent Delgado, the ship's computer and intelligence officer, which I think is very widely known because he's a bit proud about this. He's actually the ship's computer hacker. So he does a lot of that type of stuff when he's not breaking through security systems here and there. He is creating virtual dreamland environments. In fact, for her last birthday, he created a digital puppy for Lola.
Aww.
So, yeah. He's 28 years old.
Okay. So the Gladius is approaching trading point. And the your communications array bings. A little message is typed out. Proceed to dock. Our delegation on station awaiting the exchange.
So I will do my typical security scan of the area. Make sure there's nothing unexpected in a hostile way. Maybe hoping there is. Don't always trust these amigo here. I don't know if I have anything. I mean, I guess I have spot hidden. I don't know if there's some other more appropriate. It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, you can roll a you can roll a spot hidden if you want.
All right. 06. That's a extreme success.
And everything appears as expected.
I will report that to the captain. I mean the pilot. So we don't have a captain. That's what we don't have. We have a pilot. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I'm the captain.
I don't know.
No, I think she just declared that.
Right.
I heard a period, not a question mark.
Oh, okay. that was like a question to me, but I'm happy for it to be true. I mean, I don't know. Seems all good.
I would assume, of course, that Lola is piloting the Gladius at the moment.
Yes, I am. Glide the ship into the dock, hook up with whatever it needs to do to dock into the station and make sure that all the systems seem to be good before I log out.
Can I get a pilot spacecraft roll?
One would think I have that, right? Yes. Yes, I make that easily.
Okay. You maneuver the Gladius into docking position, and the communication array bings again, Release vessel controls for automated docking.
I take a deep breath and release my mental control of the ship. And
you would know you don't have to do that. You can, you know, you can fly her in manually if you want to.
Well, I don't want to give offense, so I'm gonna let it go this time.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm at the railgun because it says I love the railgun.
Doesn't everyone?
Exactly.
Jim, do we see any other spaceship around the trading point?
Yes, you do. There are a few. There is one that you recognize as a MIGO ship, and then there are a few other small trading vessels that you recognize. I mean, you don't particularly recognize any of them, but they certainly have the look of other.
It's human vessels, right?
Yes.
MIGO vessels. Correct. So, question: have the crew ever, seen a MIGO before? This is going to be our first time, or have we only seen them in pictures and, I guess, holograms and whatnot?
You would have to ask the other crew that.
I will turn around. What is your experience with the MIGO? Have you ever seen one before?
We did some training exercises, but they kept their distance.
Do we all have little places, like stations a la Star Trek or whatever, on board, or is it just all Lola with who's controlling the ship?
I think it's more just Lola.
Okay, I was about to say, I was going to bring up a picture of Amigo for everybody to see, but...
I mean, there certainly are stations where you could do that if you wanted to.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. I'll pop up a big picture. It's what we're dealing with, but I've never seen them.
So all of the... you can certainly do that. You can certainly load up a few pictures of Amigo. And all of the pictures that you find are different. Most of them, the MIGO appear as kind of small, 4 to 5 foot, very slender, gray-skinned, large heads, big eyes. In a couple pictures, it just looks like people, human beings identified as MIGO, although they have kind of a blank, vacant expression on their face.
Huh.
Weird. Right.
It seems like I might have done this on the flight over, but I'm going to hurriedly see if I can pick up some information about the MIGO, like why the pictures are depicted. Like, what's the deal?
Make a roll.
Library use, maybe?
You can make a library use, and you and everyone can make a education roll.
My education is a the library use is a hard success. The education, since I have a 20, I guess that's an automatic success.
Yep.
I have a hard.
Oh wow, hard success.
Yep. So it sounds like most of you would know that. The MIGO use a holographic projector when dealing with humans to effectively craft a disguise around themselves.
Huh.
Sneaky buggers.
Yeah.
Figured they must be super ugly.
Yeah, I got a hard success.
Yep.
Just we're looking at the pictures, I will just tell them, remember that they use projections. They hide their true form.
I don't know if I'm qualified to do this, but I think if any one of us are, I'd be the one to maybe see if we can use our sensors, since we see what we know is the Mego ship, see if I can detect any like cloaking or stuff going on from them, now that I know they use that type of thing.
So
is the ship what, like, as it appears?
Oh, okay.
It, yeah.
Make your roll.
Computer, maybe?
I think we're all thinking that if we don't let you start the scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
fair.
A normal success of some kind.
You cannot detect the use of any holographic field around the Mego ship.
Okay.
Thank you. You are welcome. So the automated docking procedure is followed, and the kind of a thump and a clank. The Gladius, you know, pulls into position, and an umbilical is extended on a seal formed around your docking hatch.
I will finish putting on my heavy suit and go up to the docking hatch and sort of check it and get ready to open it.
As the ship, you know, docks with the Gladius, there's kind of a lurch, or sorry, as the Gladius docks with the station, you know, there's kind of a lurch, and you know, a moment later, you kind of feel the pull of the artificial gravity of the station, which is, you know, not like magic floor gravity, it's rotational, right? Fake, you know, because why am I having trouble talking this evening, right? The station is rotating.
Right.
So it has an effective gravity of about 0.6 G, right? So it takes you kind of a second to kind of steady yourselves and you know, adapt to that.
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, when we have permission to open, I will open. So I'm sort of looking towards, towards our contact here, toward Andrew.
The light turns green, which means that everything is sealed up, and you can open when ready.
You ready, Andrew?
Go.
All right. I'll open the hatch, look through it. If everything seems clear, I will step back and let Andrew head through.
Is there any reason for any of us to stay back? I mean, I would think Lola and Vincent might not be needed. But, you know, if there's only four of us, maybe we all go. Is there any, like, standard procedure? We're supposed to stay with the ship? Or...
I would rather have the whole committee going, you know, we're some sort of task force. I assume I will need an engineer by my side, you know, when we're talking with Amigo to see if there's anything, you know, when they provide whatever technology it is.
Yeah.
See if it is legit and, you know, maybe more technical discussions. So.
Yeah, no, I got you. I wasn't sure if I'd be more help on the ship's instruments, but yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, and Captain, I guess it's pretty much the same with you, right, Lola? It's better just to leave it here and go and do an assessment. Maybe we can gain something extra from those Mego. You're there.
If you say, Mr. Fisk, but I am skeptical.
If I die, we all die.
What? I don't think so.
I won't let that happen. Don't worry, Andrew. I got your back.
Very good. You, let's go.
You won't let Andrew die, or you won't let everyone else die? That statement was a little vague. Yeah, okay.
You know what happened.
Okay, so let's see. So Mr. Fisk and Mr. Gunn are going on the station, and Ms. Voigt and Mr. Delgado are staying on the ship. Is that right?
No, no, we're all going together.
Oh, you are all going. Okay, mm-hmm. I apologize. I presume you're going to leave Mr. Smith on the ship, though.
Yeah. Poor guy.
He always gets left behind.
Yeah.
you press a button and your docking hatch spins open. Make your way through the umbilico into, you know, kind of a large open area. You know, this is kind of where, you know, everyone embarks, disembarks, right? There's you know, people kind of moving around, and, you know, boxes and crates being, you know, shipped here and there. As you step out onto the station, a row of lights illuminates under your feet, and you can see that they lead kind of into, across the room, to a door.
We go this way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jim, just confirm. Even though, you know, this is a human space station, right?
Mostly, yes.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Yep. They're
we'll,
you know, they
will follow the lights.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, looking around, it looks, you know, like, say 95-98% human, but there are, you know, a few elder things moving about.
Right. Yeah, so I will I guess take point and lead to the follow the lights.
Yep. As I said, the lights kind of lead you across this this kind of common area to a door.
Is there a sign on it? I mean, I'll open the door, but is there a sign on it?
There is not. Or there is. It just says, you know, Cargo Bay 3.
Okay. Where are we? Where are we headed, Andrew? Do you know? Are we supposed to meet them somewhere?
No. We just got the instructions to come here. So I was expecting someone to meet us, but apparently we need to keep going.
All right. Oh, keep going.
Press the button to open the door, and you can see, you know, the door does indeed open into a kind of middling-sized cargo bay, which is mostly empty. There are some, you know, kind of shelves along the wall, you know, that are sectioned off into, you know, areas where, and you would know that this is, you know, people can kind of rent, you know, some of this space to, you know, store cargo for a time. But standing in the middle of the room, there are four small, all between 4 and 5 feet tall, very kind of thin, slender, vaguely humanoid-looking people. They are unclothed and unsexed. Their skin is just kind of an unbroken, solid gray color. And they have kind of big, bulbous heads and big, huge black eyes and two little slits for noses. And as you come into the room, you can see one of them is holding a case, like a kind of suitcase, briefcase, transport case kind of thing. And not that one, but a different one steps forward and greetings, Fisk.
Yes, a pleasure. Andrew Fisk, and these are my companions. Mr. Gunn, Mr. Ms. Voigt, Mr. Delgado.
Excellent. You have the cargo.
We do. We were actually looking for the exchange. So Mr. Delgato here is going to take a look at the what you are going to offer us. At this point, it's unclear to me. It was not clear when we were briefed on the mission. What were we to expect? So if you don't mind.
He kind of makes a gesture with his hand, and the gray that is holding the briefcase, you know, kind of holds it up flat and opens it up, and you can see inside there are three data disks sitting there. You know, that you would know, you know, each of these is, you know, at this point, you know, multiple petabytes worth of information data storage. We have the scientific data requested. We will trade for your filtering device, its specifications, and 85 canisters of the gas.
Mm-hmm. Is that what 85? We got?
We have 70, yeah. I do not say out loud. But I do get a little more focused at that point when I hear that.
So, do we have any extra on the ship, Jim? I'm just thinking, right? And see if
no, you have 70.
Mm-hmm. 85, I see. Mr. Delgato, do you mind inspecting the data briefly? Can you do a quick search just to see that we're getting what we were promised?
Certainly.
Do you mind? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, and I am addressing the Meagle in front of me.
He kind of buzzes and chatters for, you know, like 15 seconds. Clearly, you know, kind of cocking his head, you know, and stating his name and then wondering why you bothered to ask, since there's no way you can pronounce it and probably even remember it.
I will call you Mr. Green.
As you wish. Your man can verify that the disks are, that the disks contain data, but not Excellent. The content Yes. of that data. We will, of course, not give the data up ahead of time without the trade agreed to.
Do we know if the trade agreed to was for 85 or 70, or we just know what we have?
You know that it was agreed for 70.
Uh-huh.
So, Mr. Green, there seems to be a minor misunderstanding.
Can I, before he goes any farther, can I get my hands on those disks to pop them in a computer or something like that I apparently carry with me?
They will let you scan them so that you can see that, yes, they do contain data.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha, but I can't actually look at them. Okay.
It's not like you can, you know, they're not going to let you, like, copy it or something.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I was just wondering if I could actually put my hands physically on them. I have a scientific scanner, so I guess they could just hold it up, but I'd rather, you know,
yep.
possession and all that.
I mean, they can be very, very well full of pictures, you know?
Pictures?
For all we know.
Their family vacation to Venus.
That's what I was about to say. Exactly. All the family kids.
Once the exchange has been agreed upon, we will verify the content of the gas, and you may verify the content of the data.
Understood. That makes sense to us. So as I was saying, there seems to be a minor misunderstanding. The agreement was for 70, not 85, and that's what we're carrying with us right now.
He kind of cocks his head. Are you certain? I believe the initial negotiation was for 85.
I am certain. That's what we have loaded into our ship, and that's what we are carrying with us.
Bargain or persuade?
Let's see which one it is. Bargain 45 and persuade is 75. This is good. Let me roll for persuade. 74.
There's some buzzing and clicking and clacking amongst the Migo, and then the leader kind of turns to you. 70 will be sufficient.
Excellent.
Will you please bring everything to this room? We will allow you to examine the data, and we will verify the contents of the guests.
Very good. So if you don't mind, I will ask Mr. Dragato here to start with the revision of this as we go back and we bring the cargo to you.
He nods, and the gray that is holding the briefcase hands it to Delgado.
Okay, so yeah, I kind of look at Delgado or Delgado. Delgado.
Delgado, yeah.
Delgado. Okay. Yeah, so I will just turn to you, Delgado, and please proceed. We'll get back with the exchange. And
I wondered, Jim, if I can just contact the ship and tell somebody there. I don't know how my connection to the ship works.
Well, the only person left on the ship at the moment is Mr. Smith, your engineer.
Oh,
we don't have that doc.
And I suppose Miss Everett, the doctor. So the two of them are still on the ship, yes.
Well, I assume the cargo, and there must be some, if it's this much cargo, there must be some automated something-something.
That's what I was thinking as well.
Not really.
Are we actually expected to carry all the cans of gas?
Well, load it onto a cart and push the cart.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Floating cart, at least, I hope.
Right, I
wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
That seems
wow. Like, yeah.
Perhaps a right. Cart.
I will turn to Mr. Gum. You have a minute before we go to the to the exit to go and bring the canister.
Of course.
I believe it will be wise if you stay behind and help Mr. Delgado just in case. But you never know.
That was my plan.
Awesome. Okay, we'll meet in a few minutes. We'll. I guess, Captain, will you help me to bring the canisters to Mr. Green?
I roll my eyes and nod.
Thank you, Captain. Okay, so that's the plan, Gene.
So Mr. Fisk and Ms. Voigt head back to the Gladius to retrieve your cargo. Mr. Gunn, you are observing. Mr. Delgado is verifying. Sounds about right.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Gunn, would you like to make a spot hidden roll?
I would. 17 is hard success.
Your Migo friends are relaxed and calm and, expectantly awaiting the successful completion of this trade. They do not look at all threatening in any way. Mr. Delgado.
Yes, sir.
Would you make an appropriate roll to analyze the data disks?
Computer use seems right.
Yep, I'll take it.
A nice high number. It succeeds with a hard degree of success.
It takes you, a few minutes to kind of, go through each of the disks, and there's like I said, petabytes worth of data on each of these, so it's not like you can go through it in detail, but it does appear to be scientific data of some kind.
Mm-hmm. I have, well, I mean, that's probably all I'm going to get off of there, right? I mean, I have physics and, you know, a few other things I could try to roll, but I don't actually know. I mean, that's the whole point. We don't understand the science yet, so.
You can make a physics roll.
Okay. Where is that? I saw that earlier. 60. So that's a normal success on that.
So, yeah, you know, you can kind of stop and look at kind of bits and pieces of the data, and you know, there you can identify that there are some formulae in here that you have absolutely never seen before, that you recognize as, you know, things that have never been considered by, you know, physics as you know it before, involving gravitational lensing and you know, the translations of gravitational force through space, and you know, it, whatever this is, you know, you're certainly willing to believe that it is as advertised, that this is, these are advancements, you know, towards Project Origami. Yeah, but it, you know, you certainly can't, you know, just immediately grasp them and understand them.
Okay. Yeah, so that sounds good, but before I give the all clear, I'm going to you know, look and see if there's, I don't know, virus or spike or something, you know, untoward that's supposed to, you know, be some kind of a double cross or something if we take it. Some type of security thing.
Make another computer roll.
Okay. 09, so that's an extreme.
You do not find any such thing.
Excellent. So I kind of look up to Damien and kind of nod my head. Looks good.
Meanwhile, Mr. Fisk, Ms. Voigt, are you just grabbing everything, or is there anything else you wanted to do?
So, go ahead.
No, you go.
So, first of all, we're going to get, of course, the doctor and Mr. Smith to help us, right? To load the canisters. And in the meantime, I'm wondering if actually the initial negotiation was for 85. Is there a way for me to browse the original agreement? Not the one that was briefed to me, but do I have access to the original contract?
You do, and you can review it, and it was for 70.
Oh, you can't blame them for trying. I mean, didn't you yourself say maybe we can get a little something more?
I did. Just a little bit strange for an alien race to think like us, you know?
Oh, I think avarice is pretty universal.
Very good point. Okay. Yeah, so we'll proceed, you know, I will proceed to help them to load the canisters.
Okay. So it takes some time, you know, 70, you know, big gas canisters is, you know, it takes some time to move those. And, you know, even the four of you working together, you know, probably have to make a couple trips with, you know, the one or two battered old carts that are knocking around the station, you know, for use. The, you know, one of them's got the squeaky wheel and one of them's got the wheel that's constantly wobbling. And
man, have they done nothing useful in the next 100 years?
Well, you know, some things are just beyond human science.
Space travel, check.
Squeaky wheel.
Asteroid colonization, check. Squeaky wheel, no.
As you know, kind of each cart load, as you bring it in, you know, the one of the Mego will kind of walk up to it and, you know, inject a small sample, or, you know, retrieve a small sample of the gas and check it and verify it. You know, they don't check every canister, but, you know, they kind of spot check, you know, maybe a dozen altogether.
They have basically no facial expressions, right?
That is correct.
Are they, do they give any confirmation as they're going, or?
No, not to you.
Okay.
And they're kind of chatting amongst themselves. And so as the last, you know, load of canisters comes in and the blueprints are exchanged and the device.
Jim, just before that, we have comms, right, on the helmets. So can I ping Gunn and ask him to open the mic so I can hear the conversation? I do have a 65% of Migo.
Oh wow. Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Sure. Go ahead and roll your meat. Well, 65%, so you're fluent in it. They are, you know, they're pretty much just mostly businesslike. You know, this is good. This is good. This is within tolerance. This is, you know, as expected.
Okay. Very good.
And so kind of once the, you know, everything has been rolled in and verified and the leader kind of walks up to you and looks up at you. Thank you for this successful trade of technology and information. I hope that we will be able to conduct further trade in the future.
I agree, Mr. Green. It was a pleasure. And we hope that, you know, this data is going to be as useful as we expect for humanity.
I believe it will be. However, if you are interested, I have additional information I can offer. I believe this is information vital to the survival of your colonies.
I look around to my peers and look back. And what do you want in exchange for that information?
Are you willing to conduct negotiations for the information?
I'm willing to start negotiations and see if they are something that I can actually address as a negotiator. There are a few things that are outside of my control, as you will know. And just representing, you know, a larger group. And I won't be able to make a lot of decisions by myself, but maybe if what you're offering is worth trying, we can do our best to do that exchange.
Excellent. Allow me to show you the information that we have. And he waves over one of the other Migo who, you know, kind of goes over and plugs into a wall console and, you know, kind of a screen opens up and he starts, you know, tapping, tip, 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 tip. And there, you know, some data and information kind of goes scrolling off the screen and then an image pops up. And it is clearly the image of a spacecraft traveling through space. And he hits a few more screens or a few more keys and the spacecraft magnifies on the screen and you can see it is a spaceship. It is a very large spaceship. You're guessing it's at least 4 to 5 times the size of the Gladius. It appears to be a human ship just from the kind of the shape and the outline. And you can see that there are windows and kind of human-sized hatches on the ship. And you can all make a sand roll.
Oh, no.
That's a success.
That's a success.
Not for me.
Success.
Okay, so let's see. Mr. Delgado, you can lose a D3. Those of you who passed can lose one.
Okay. I think I saw my little sister in the window.
As you see, painted on the side of the ship, a giant yellow symbol. A circle with branches coming off of it that seem to be moving and flowing across the surface of the ship. And as you see it, you each suddenly get a flash, and you know you've seen that symbol before. You remember being Roman in a city in flames and people fleeing and fighting and blood and violence. And you remember winter and cold and snow and starvation and a castle and men in armor and swords. You can all, whatever the Cthulhu mythos and Haster lore of your previous Dark Ages character was, you can bring that forward to this character. You can also bring forward any one skill from both the Roman and the Dark Ages character.
Oh, interesting. One from each, or one from the two total?
One from each.
All right, so that's mythos, and then Haster mythos, Haster lore. I didn't really leave any blank spaces for us. Put that over there.
One of each. I believe I will stagger backwards and sit on my ass after this.
And I think some of you might need to adjust your sanity down, given the amount of Cthulhu mythos you have just been granted.
Well, thankfully, I lost 1 point, so now I don't have to.
I think that's what I'm going to grab.
As your max sanity, of course, changes.
I wonder if speaking Celtic is going to be useful.
You never know.
I grabbed Roman Empire the first time, and I'm thinking I may do that again because it seems like a character thing as opposed to a. What else is available?
Scrim's not even an option.
as the memories come flooding back. And you kind of stagger and blink and kind of shake your head at the memories. You kind of hear and you realize that the Migo is still talking. And he says, "This human ship is traveling to Earth. We do not know where it has been or what its mission was. But it is coming from somewhere above the elliptical, beyond Neptune. Our intelligence indicated a large construction project on the surface of Earth's moon 4 years ago, but we did not know what it was. We now believe that it was the construction of this vessel, as our scans have indicated that the vessel is trailing lunar dust. We are willing to exchange with you all of our scans and data on this ship, including its last known position, speed, and heading. And as a demonstration of our goodwill, given our former exchange, for no compensation, I will tell you this. You will want this information. This ship will pass within scanning range of one or more of your settlements within the next 72 hours. Do you wish to consult your superiors?
Yes. Please, allow me a few minutes. I will gather a team together, kind of take a few steps away from Migo. And, okay.
They still haven't said what they're looking for.
Yeah, we need to know.
Before we contact our superiors, we should really know what they're asking.
How we can pull this off, yeah.
And can I clarify, there the ship is headed towards Earth?
Yes.
Back towards Earth.
Back to Earth. So the according to the Mego believe that it came from Earth's moon, because there are samples of lunar dust in the ship's wake. But it is headed to Earth from somewhere beyond Neptune above the elliptical.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. It was built on the moon, it went out beyond Neptune, and now it's coming back? Is that
correct?
Okay, gotcha.
So maybe, you know, somehow they managed the gray portals. And this is a test. They're successful.
Maybe.
I think we
but
all
the
know.
The important thing is that it's going to be near us. That within 72 hours, it will know of our colony's existence, and we need to prevent that.
Yeah, yes. I mean, the important thing is what's written, scribed on the side, right? Any place we see that, it's got to be stopped. Ask them what they want.
I will bring the ships back and you know, address Mr. Green again. And what do you want in exchange for this information?
200 human ova, sperm samples from at least 3 different human males.
Okay. Me talk to my superiors. And we have PDA. Is this PDA good enough to communicate to base or headquarters or?
Well, you could certainly link back to the communications array on the Gladius, and from there, yeah, you don't have to leave to go. You know, you can just kind of step away and establish the appropriate communication links to.
If they're not eating my eggs.
I will establish that communication and try to, you know, ring my supervisor or my whoever is in charge.
Yep. You have superiors in emission control that you can certainly contact. You know, they will certainly be interested. They will order you to obtain the information. They will order you to, however, not cause any incident that would jeopardize relations with the Mego, and to make sure that you do not release any information to the Mego that is of any military value.
I will tell them what they are asking, because they're asking for ovule and sperm. We get the 3 males here.
Sorry, what was the question?
I mean, I will ask them, you know, I will tell them what the Mego is asking for, and see if we get approval. Because the thing is, and, you know, whoever I'm talking to, I will tell them this thing. It's not like they don't have some information from before when they used to focus, you know, back on Earth. So I don't feel like we are also, like, we're going to be in danger if we just give them what they want. This is going to jeopardize our whole existence if we don't agree with this exchange.
Right. So, you know, they will, the you know, your superiors will agree with you and say to, you know, if you can negotiate that exchange, and if you can convince your people to do it, do it.
Okay. As
was pointed out, you have 3 human males, and you have 2 human females who between them can certainly provide 200 ova.
Mm. All right, let's gather, team.
See how good a negotiator you really are.
All right, so I spoke to headquarters and they want to proceed with the exchange. But given the timing here, we'll have to provide what we have with us right now.
He looks at you and goes, yes, you have 3 human males, and each of your human females has well over 100 ova each. That will be sufficient. 200 ova, sperm samples from 3 different human males.
Sure, I can find somebody on this station somewhere who would be a willing donor.
Sounds like a good idea.
Do we have more humans here?
On the station, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have much time, but...
I'll just say this. I don't mind at all. I will donate my part. So if you're not willing to donate yours, I understand. And we're going to try to get whatever we can on this station. But if we don't do this quickly, you know, everything that we have done in the last hundreds of years is going to be in vain. We're going to be at the mercy of the old ones.
What do I think about the machine that they were... that they were using? Like, is it something that I think I could handle to bring up that information?
So they were using a console on the ship to connect to something else.
Gotcha. You know,
presumably, you know, their ship, right?
Yeah. It's not something I could, under the right circumstances, retrieve or something like that from some database. It's their ship. But
I suppose you can try to, you know, write a the appropriate software virus on your Apple laptop and connect to the Mego ship via Wi-Fi and inject it somehow. And I suppose that's not impossible.
I'm just uncomfortable giving these suspicious creatures what amounts to a bunch of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we got to save the rest of the people, that's one thing, but yeah, we're giving them, yeah.
I mean, there's two things, right? One, game over if we don't do this, it seems like, unless we come up with another way to get the information, which we could possibly do. And two, you know, having a fourth group of humans alive means there's a fourth group of humans alive.
But do we know they're going to raise them to, you know?
You're thinking.
Yeah, and we know from the Yithians that the Mego have jerked us around and experimented on us, and they essentially want all of my children for their games. No, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm not, as I say, I'm sure I can find somebody on the station who will not notice.
Well, I will, you know, I don't want to waste more time, Jim, so I will kind of ring whoever is in charge of this station.
Okay.
And arrange a meeting with him immediately.
Okay, you can certainly do that. He'll, she will, be flustered and wonder why you're wasting her time, but we'll arrange to meet with you in, you know, within half an hour.
Half an hour.
So long.
All right. That's fine. In the next half an hour, I'll try to convince the others because, you know, this is our mission, people. You are my team. And I woke up, kind of put my arms around him, you know, over the shoulders. You are my team. We're sent here together to save humanity. And that's what we're supposed to do.
Okay. So on the female side, Miss Voight has said no. Yeah, Miss Everett. Why don't you make a persuade roll to convince Miss Everett?
Mm-hmm. I will burn 9 points of luck.
Yep, she'll do it. Yeah. You figure you probably need, you know, at least one more woman to donate some eggs. I mean, you don't want to just rip them all out of one person, right? And leave them completely barren. Mm-hmm. On the male side, you have yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like Mr. Delgado was generally against the idea.
Yeah, but it's in principle. I mean, if we're going forward with it, I'll participate or donate.
Okay. Mr. Gunn?
Yeah, I'm a, you know, soldier. Do what I'm told.
Okay. So really, you just need to find one more willing female donor. Or, you know, unwilling, if you want to go that way. Either way, I suppose. It's just a small surgical procedure. So you can meet with the station supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of time. I'm busy. What do you need?
Is she a woman by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, we are here in an exchange, right, with Migo.
I do now. So what?
So we lost something on the way here, and it is part of the exchange they're requesting. I was wondering if you could help us with that last request. We just need 100 ova from a female on this station.
You lost 100 ova, and you need me to help you get it.
Yes, pretty much.
My job is to see that this station runs efficiently and smoothly. My job is not to help every single trader who can't come up with their own wares. If you need 100 human ova, then find someone on the station who's willing to exchange them, buy them off them for a few credits.
Very good. Very good. So I will announce requesting a donor, if you don't mind, on your network, on your communication network internally.
That's what the boards are for.
So what you know, what's a good amount of credits that we can exchange here, Jim? Whatever it is I can think of, I will just say we're looking for we are looking for a donor. I won't specify what it is. For the exchange of this amount of credits, and this is urgent. So I need an answer in the next 5 minutes. First person to get the credits.
You can certainly find someone who is willing to take your money.
Already.
It's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
There's enough people on the station that at least one person is like willing to make that trade.
Very good. So yeah. First team, that's the first, you know, person that we're gonna do the exchange. And we're gonna get the sperm from my team. Excellent team members. Kudos to everyone. So I will do my part, and we will do the exchange.
The Migo offer to extract the ova themselves. They have the technology and the capability to do that.
Under our supervision, yes. We just want to make sure that they don't harm anyone.
Of course, one of your people can observe. That is acceptable. So who's going to observe?
The doctor, right?
I mean, she's one of the donors, though.
Oh,
yeah. So there's no harm, right, to our female companions?
None whatsoever.
Okay, very good. I will oversee the operation then.
Okay. So they take your doctor and the donor kind of one by one, and they take them into kind of a private back room, and you see them kind of take out some, you know, weird alien implements that you don't recognize, and the donor is put to sleep, and then there are various needles and probes and unfortunate looking devices involved.
So when do I roll sanity?
You can roll sanity now.
Okay. That is a failure.
D3,
I'm starting to feel some sort of regret. It's
not particularly pleasant to watch. But it doesn't take very long. And they both kind of, you know, very quickly after the procedure recover and are back to themselves. They basically just give the three of you, you know, a vial and say, use this, right? So you can make your sperm, so you can do your sperm donation yourselves, if you wish. They offer to extract.
I will handle it. Don't you worry about that. I will be back in a few minutes.
And once they have everything, they hand you a data disk.
I will ask Bergato.
Yes.
Please send these to headquarters. Encrypt the place.
Right away. I will take a look and verify the type of information we're looking for and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And analyze it. We need to know where the vessel is right now.
Alright. I will, if I'm able to do it while we're there, I'll pop the computer open and do it. If I need to go back to the ship, I'll do that, but as soon as possible.
Well, you would probably, I mean, at this point, you don't have any other reason for staying here, so you might as well just go back to your ship and your own kind of setup to send the data and do your own analysis. The Migo say thank you. It was good trading with you, and they leave.
I feel a little bit dirty.
A little bit.
It's really. I feel like anyway.
We have failed twice. This is our last opportunity. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
We need to destroy that ship before it, or stop it, or move it, or something before it finds us.
This time, it's not the question of a resort town or a small kingdom so much as the fate of the rest of humanity. You're right.
Yeah.
So before, while we're there and, talking to, I will approach Mr. Green one last time and ask him, have you ever made contact with this vessel before? Have they made contact with you? Are they aware of your existence?
We have not. We do not believe so.
Ask them about the sign, what they know about the sign, and why they think it's important. That's what we should have asked them from the jump, why they think this is important.
Are you aware of that sign, that symbol with the tentacles on the side? Significance?
He tilts his head and looks up at you. Yes.
Okay. Can you share more information about that with us?
Are you willing? Are you interested in engaging another trade negotiation?
Oh, God. Oh. It all depends, as I said before, what you're asking, if I'm going to be able to provide.
He kind of turns and consults with the other three. There is nothing else we desire from you at this time. We do not wish to enter into negotiation.
Interesting. Very good. So we'll deal with this. It is a pleasure, Mr. Green, as I said before. And here we say our goodbyes. Hope to meet you in the future for further negotiations. If everything goes according to plan.
And they leave.
All right. So I guess we go back to the ship, to the Gladius, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, as swiftly as possible. I'd like to crack these things open.
What do we have, Gene?
You have some data. Let us first get a computer use from Mr. Delgado.
Yeah, this will be the one I blow. Oh, but I can spend luck to make it a normal success. I said that as the dice were rolling, of course. I jinxed it that way.
And can I get a navigation roll from anyone who would care to assist Mr. Delgado if he needs it?
I can do navigate. Yes, I make a regular success.
Excellent, Ms. Voigt. So it takes 20, 30 minutes to kind of parse through all the data. But you can, you can see there are some very detailed and extensive scans here that the MIGO conducted of the vessel, as well as some navigational data, speed, velocity, where the scans were taken, that sort of thing. So from the data and from analyzing the data, you can tell that the ship in question is very large. It's a good 120 meters long. You don't recognize the particular propulsion system it's using, but it is outputting a lot of power. It's moving quickly. It does not appear to be armed. There's no visible weapons on the exterior of the ship. There is a large 35-meter kind of shuttle bay in the ship, which at the time of when the MIGO scanned it, the bay was empty. She is kind of based on the power output and the readings. She appears to be moving slower than she could be, at about maybe a sixth of what her possible speed could be. And as you plot her course backwards, especially Miss Voigt, you can tell that kind of the way she maneuvered around the various gravity wells around Jupiter, you would describe it as clumsy. Someone who didn't know what they were doing, or, fresh out of the academy kind of thing, right? These are, kind of basic amateur hour mistakes. Eventually successful, but, far from, the most efficient maneuvers. If her current course holds, that she will be within easy scanning range on her way to Earth of three colonial settlements, New Brooklyn, Berlin Town, and Rockhaven. And you also happen to know that the third of those, Rockhaven, is where most of the theoretical testing for Project Origami occurs. It's actually where you're supposed to be delivering those data disks.
So I have three questions. The first is a ship of that size like normal, or is it kind of dwarf everything that we have ever seen?
That one.
Second one. Never seen it before. Okay. Number two is that shuttle bay that we have information about large enough to fit the Gladius?
No.
No. Would it normally be, do we see any other docking, like ports or anything like that on the outside?
Docking ports, yes, certainly.
Okay. And the last thing would be, this may actually be a question for Lola. Could we plot an intercept course with our current technology? Because the next thing I want to do is break into this other technology that we have. But could we plot an intercept course that would get us to the ship before it reached the scanning distance of our homes?
At its current speed?
At its current speed and our top speed.
Make a roll, Mrs. Voigt.
Seeing that's an 11, probably, whatever you want.
Nice. I think pilot is probably good. Either pilot or navigation, but yeah. So if she maintains course and speed as per the data, she will be within scanning range of the first colony in 21 hours.
And can we intercept her before then? I think was the question.
At top speed, the Gladius could get you could get the Gladius to her in 12 hours.
I relay that.
Perfect. I'm going to maybe excuse myself at this point to start digging into the other stuff to see if there's something in this new information to fold space that could get us there even quicker. Or if I can, master maybe not, but if it's all laid out to me very simply, if there's something that we can use between now and then.
Make another physics roll.
That is going to be fail. Could someone help me? Or could I push it? Maybe push it. But I don't know what would happen. Corrupt all the data.
I have a good amount of physics.
And someone else can make a physics roll if they want to.
Yes, I made a 15. You're hard.
With a team of the best and brightest scientists that the colony has to offer, hundreds of talented and capable engineers working around the clock. Maybe in 5 or 10 years you could build something.
Not usable. So 12 hours is our best bet.
And what do we want to do when we intercept this death ship?
That was my next question. I mean, could we just blow it apart?
Sky?
Yeah, I mean, that railgun you've been looking at so fondly seems like a nice solution to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else have alternative?
No, I don't see any other alternative. Like, we need to blow up the ship.
Just like shooting child actors with a crossbow, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. The only problem I see is that if we approach them, they can notify Earth, telling them that, there's another spaceship, humans here attacking them. And that's it, you know. Then it was all for nothing.
Well, not if we succeed.
I'm still confused.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? If they sent some communication back to Earth when they spot us approaching them, then...
Well, it's okay.
There's not a lot we can do.
Well, yeah, if they find us, they kill us. That's fine. If they find the colony, it's all over.
No, I think, I mean, you would all kind of know this, right? That, you know, Earth has no idea of even the existence of the colonies.
Oh.
And this so, thing so, is headed.
So Mr. Right. Fisk's concern is correct, right?
Right.
I mean, it's one, you know, if they find the colony, you know, if this ship finds, you know, the colony and tells Earth, well, yeah, that's bad, right? But if this ship finds another ship where there shouldn't be one, that's effectively the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except they still have to find the colony. Like, they still have to locate it.
Yeah, but they would at least know to look, right? Oh, look, there are some other humans out there in the solar system. Yeah.
Right.
But why would they be even searching? I mean, why are they scanning? Why are they searching? And if the ship was built on the moon and then traveled out past Neptune... How did it not scan for us beforewards? I'm so confused.
Must have gone a different way. Or maybe it knows we're there already and just hasn't done anything. Maybe they don't care.
So maybe misunderstood that the big danger that we have is that it will, the scanning part is it will identify the colony, right? Is that our big, okay.
Well,
we've got to stop it because of the yellow sign.
Yeah, they will discard the existence of humans outside of Earth, right?
Right.
So that's the concern. Now, here's the thing. I do believe that these guys were in the moon. You know, we're at the moon with some sort of advanced technology, whatever, building this ship. And they created a portal, took them all the way here. And that's why they're still lunar dust. You know, because they just left Moon in a way they just left Moon, and they're just going back. That's the only thing that comes to mind, because otherwise, as you're saying, Captain, they should have detected our colonies before, right?
So do we have jamming technology so we can keep them from transmitting information?
So you would know that the colonies generally have the ability to do some things that can jam communication. You on board the Gladius by yourselves do not have that capability.
We can at least tell the colonies to do that.
Do we have any...
Go ahead.
I was thinking maybe we can use some kind of a clocking device. And, you know, maybe we can pretend to be an asteroid.
Mm-hmm. That's the same thing I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Cloaking or, you know, I don't know, approach in the wake or whatever that would be, the rocket stream or any kind of tricks that would keep us from being detected.
The Mego have not sold you their holographic projectors.
Yes. Well, I was thinking as well. We should have asked for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't want to enter negotiations anymore anyway, but yeah.
I wonder if they want to, you know, they already have the humans. They can recreate our race without any problems.
It seems like, it seems like they could have gotten humans without trading if,
they wanted to, you know, maybe, but, you know, maybe that meant that, you know, we were going to be at war with them.
A little kidnapping seems like it would be pretty easy to do.
That's what I think.
Can someone make a Migo cultural knowledge roll.
So can I make amigo by half? You know, understanding language, probably I needed to study their culture.
I like it.
Something like that.
I'm sold. Okay. Make that roll.
Let me try it. I miss by a lot.
Okay. Never mind then.
We're trying.
Got to go to school, huh?
Yep.
I wonder if we could take it by force before we left. But that would ignite a war even if we were successful. You're right.
That's what we were just specifically told not to do by by headquarters, if I understood correctly. The only thing they told us not to do was to
start a war
with Amigo.
Can we detect an asteroid on their, you know, on their way? Maybe, you know, that we can wait by the asteroid undetected, you know, maybe. And as soon as they are passing in front of us, try to blow it up.
When you get close, sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we can interfere with them without them seeing us.
So here's the thing, right? If we do it fast enough, they won't be able to send any transmissions out, even if they spot us, right? If we just destroy it, it is a spaceship, right? Like any damage we do to the engines is going to cause like a huge damage on the ship. It's going to be catastrophic.
You know what I just thought of? As an alternative, some of the pictures of the Migo look like humans, right? And you speak Migo.
Yes.
We could hail them as if we were Migo. And then, you know, through subterfuge,
lead them away from the colonies?
Well, I was going to say either blow them up or else dock with them and kill everybody on board.
And blow them up from within, yes. So yeah. I was thinking exactly about the same. Like, that's what I was thinking on a cloaking device. If we can actually pass as Migos, you know, tell them, I can, you know, if they have been in contact with Migo before, I can start the communication in Migo. Saying this is a Migo ship, we want to establish communication with the captain of the ship, and then go from there. Ask them to let them board them, and maybe Gunn, you can plant some explosive devices, as, you know, explosives as we start landing, and then that's it.
You briefly saw Gunn start to look a little sad when you started talking about talking them into moving to some other location, and then the conversation shifted to a topic he was much more cheerful about. Yes, I'm sure we could do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That seems great.
As we talk, maybe you can stay on the outside and start planting explosives on the outside of the ship, and we can go and buy you some time. The only thing that I want to do, if it is possible, Delgato, is to send this information back to headquarters in case we don't make it.
Yeah, we need to do that, and we need to tell them to use every cloaking trick in the book that they have, because this thing is headed in their direction.
We could probably rig this ship to explode and destroy their ship pretty easily.
Send her right into the shuttle bay. Well, towards the shuttle bay. I don't know.
Well,
I'm a little hung up on the shuttle bay. Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, we'd have to examine it.
Yeah.
It was empty.
It was empty then at the time.
Right.
We don't have any, scanners to check and see if. Or do we have a way to check if we get close to see if the the shuttle bay is still.
When you get close, yes.
Okay.
So I guess that's the best plan, isn't it? Risk it all. I will talk to our supervisors, Gene, just to explain the plan and see if they have any better ideas. Because for us, it looks like this is the only way. If we don't destroy this ship, it's going to be too late, and the ship is going to spot the colonies.
They say, please stand by. We'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Okay. Can I transmit our information by tight beam or whatever?
Yes, I mean it'll take a while to transmit everything, but you can certainly kind of give them the summary and then start uploading.
Yeah.
The entire content of the data.
Yeah. Again, it's yeah.
We can tell the these guys in the vessel, this spaceship, that we're not going to expose our crew form, and that we're gonna disguise as humans to avoid causing them any distress. Very good. Yes. Well, they're gonna say, oh, we have met Cthulhu, you have no problems showing up your crew form.
So, are you guys going to take off? Or are you going to wait for?
Oh, I thought we were
in command space. To get back to you, or?
Yeah, I assumed that we were already en route.
Oh, okay. I did not hear anyone say that. So, okay, sorry. That's fine. You can certainly be en route, making your way there, having this discussion. About an hour after Mr. Fisk kind of asks for, command for confirmation and, please help, that kind of thing. You receive a transmission. As such.
What's that?
Gladius, priority one. Proceed to intercept to Earth vessel. At T-minus 14 hours of your confirmation of orders, the area of 34-33-254-X14 will be blanketed with an artificially created particle storm. This will jam all transmissions in that sector for a period of 1 to 3 hours. During this time, you will engage the intruder. You are to disable her, board her, and take her as a prize. The intelligence and possible technology gained could prove invaluable. The ship must be under colonial control at the end of the storm's blackout. Once you have her under control, proceed to the following location, 85-27-158-N16, and contact High Command. Do not destroy the intruder unless all other options are exhausted. If she cannot be taken, she must be destroyed. After confirmation of orders, conduct strict radio silence until objective achieved. CPM Joshua Clark, confirm receipt of orders, yes or no? Upon sharing that.
Keep that Y.
hold on.
The ability to create this cloaking storm, well, it's just a blackout to communications. But right. Then they couldn't scan for the colonies.
It must not work for short range. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one way or another, I'm not so sure we should confirm the receipt of the orders, because this is asking us to take it as a prize. I strongly have the opinion this thing does not need to
no,
exist.
No, we know
anywhere.
That madness comes with the sign.
Yeah,
we
need
know
to burn
that
thing away.
Yes, either we accept and then tell her that
there was no choice,
or else we just don't respond, and then
we don't respond, and they don't put the cloaking And yeah, that's bad news.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. Let's respond, and if we have to blow it up, we blow it up, right? But I agree with their assessment in the sense that it's better to get as much intel as we can. If we can board in, I'll say let's stick to our plan. Let's pass Oswego, board it, try to get as much intel as we can, then blow them up. Because I don't know you, but I have a strong feeling, and I don't know how I know this, maybe it's in my bones, you know, but I have seen that sign before somewhere.
Oh,
in
yes.
My dreams. I don't know, but it is evil, just as everything else on Earth.
So a couple details that may or may not affect your planning here. Obviously, the orders were marked priority one, so you know that means these orders are top secret and of the utmost importance. Priority one, obviously. CPM Joshua Clark, CPM Colonial Prime Minister, right? So the head of all the colonies. Joshua Clark. Joshua Clark is the human name of one of the Yithian founders. So in other words, those orders come from, you know, as high up as possible.
I still think it's a bad idea. We've seen the madness that the sign brings, not once, but twice. I don't think the third time is the charm.
I just kind of put my hand on Lola's shoulder and just kind of give her a little nod.
The madness. Oh, I guess we never learned that. Never mind. Oh, I kind of knew it, but didn't really know it.
So what do we know? I guess that's the question, right? What do we know from our past lives that we can bring in?
Well, you remember everything.
Wow.
I mean, so the fact that we screwed up is a big thing, but there's also that we didn't deal with the dude, the young guy.
Oh. I guess I see it as being too slow for 2,000 years. When we were in Rome, we weren't successful in keeping the information from leaving. It survived beyond us, and we were in what do we refer to that? Norman lands? When we were in Norman lands, we were too slow to prevent the disease from spreading to the castle and to the villages. It's possible we can be not just on time, not just in time, but early this time, and stamp it out before it has a chance to go anywhere else.
Anything's possible. But in any case, it's time to prepare. We have not many hours. We should get well rested, and you should do whatever research you need to do on the Mego, and I'll think about how big an explosion I can make.
Is there anything, trying to think of other things about this character that might be useful when preparing that? How about that virtual dreamland thing? Does that happen? Does that exist only in, like, I don't know? Is there any way to reach out to the ship from this ship?
I was thinking something? That too. Since I can pilot this ship, could I knock the other pilot out?
Mm-hmm.
It is certainly within the potential to communicate to other pilots, you know, other people in the virtual dreamlands. I mean, you don't know, you know, if, you know, if that's how this ship, if that's how, you know, your quarry, you know, is being piloted, or, you know, who they are, where they would be. Right. So, yeah, so, you know, functionally, yes, that's possible. And if you were going after another colony ship that you knew the pilots of, then that's certainly within the realm of possibility. But, you know, given that you know nothing about this ship or her pilots, or, you know, how they're controlling her, or anything, right?
Do we have to be within a certain range to normally talk to another ship that way?
No, you can. The virtual dreamlands are much like the real dreamlands. They exist all around you. So no.
So guys, I do believe that we should go and gather as much intel as we can. So I'll say let's I will go pass as Migo. If someone else wants to come with me, that's fine. I will gather as much intel that I can, transmit back to the Gladius, and then you can blow it up. Don't wait for me.
I just wonder if maybe Vincent and I could hack into the computer remotely from here through the virtual dreamlands and, you know, crash it into an asteroid, you know.
Cause a react or some type of malfunction in its reactor.
I know we've been ordered to take it as a prize, but I think that way lays madness.
So I don't care where those orders come from. I'm not interested. Yeah, I'm not interested in the slightest.
Yeah, I don't agree on taking the whole ship back to the colonies, right? Because we have seen what the sign and can cause. But I do believe that whatever intel we can gather of who's these people, why are they here, how many other ships do they have, that is important. That is important, you know, for the survival of the colonies.
That's true.
So I agree with you. We should blow up the ship, right? We should not let it fall into anyone else's hands. But we need to gather as much information as we can.
Oh. I don't know how this would work, but it just dawned on me that this is kind of a Haster thing. We do have some sort of knowledge for that type of thing with the yellow sign.
See, Hasta.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is it possible to pick up some extra knowledge as to how the ship may have come to be here, or, you know, what may be making it go that fast, or what it may be looking for, or something, by rolling on the Haster lore?
You can make a roll, sure.
Okay. 18. That is a normal success.
You don't know.
Can't learn anything. Gotcha.
Based on what you know at the moment, you have no clue.
Gotcha.
I mean, other than the general stuff that you probably wouldn't have needed to roll for, the yellow sign is usually indicative, and certainly in your experience is indicative of cultists and followers of Haster. and they seem to have a predilection for proselytization. They like to spread the good word.
Can we all go into the virtual dreamlands?
Sure.
Should we take?
Wait, I mean, we've got 12 hours before we get there, or 11.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
Why don't we try to attack it virtually first?
I guess the problem with that is
because it will not yet be. Yeah, I can communicate at that point.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The problem with that is we're tipping our hand again. We're not going to have the disrupting shower of whatever it was, photons or something.
Well, if the Ithians know the future.
Particle storm.
Would they not know how this turns out?
Don't they see possible features?
I would believe that if this thing is controlled by some magic or creature or whatever that they cannot understand any more than us, that they may not be able to predict the future or see the future.
I don't understand the emphasis of do not destroy the intruder unless it's dangerous to unless it's dangerous to destroy it. You know, I mean, maybe it releases something.
Well, given the hour, why don't we go ahead and call this session here? And you guys have a whole week to continue. I don't know if that
Stay
will be long
tuned
enough but,
for more more discussion, endless.
Yeah. More discussion and endless planning.
Yes. How long until we reach the ship? 12 hours? How many sessions can we pack in there? That's what, 6 sessions more of?
We're doing it in real
time.
Yeah,
we do it all in real time.
That's right. Yeah.